Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar. Myself and Mark checking in this weekend for another Bundesliga review of match week 15. Mark, how's your weekend been?
Yeah, not bad at all. Obviously, made my bi-weekly trip to the Max Morlock Stadium again this week to see yet another defeat for my boys Nuremberg. But yeah, improved performance, improved weather as well. And yeah, obviously, the Bundesliga is really starting to hot up now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's supposed to be the cold season, but we've had some very warming fixtures and games over the weekend. So we'll get stuck into that in a moment's time. One thing that we might do is at some point as well reflect on the European draws as well, which were made today. So we'll have a little look at that. And of course, we'll be doing our Bundesliga boxes, Hero of the Week, at the end of the show. So plenty to get stuck into, and you know we might even have a quick run through predictions for tomorrow and Wednesday's games. Yeah. So we've got all sorts going on tonight. We'll try and speed through in as good a time as possible. So sit back, enjoy along with us. So thank you very much. See, there's already a question in the chat from Bristol Funk about best replacements for Mailer this week. Unfortunately, it's not exact. Fantasy show tonight, but we'll take that into account and have a little think about what fullbacks you might be able to bring into your team as well for yourself, Bristol Funk, and Evening Moritz as well, tuning in, and everyone that is watching with us. Please as well give us a thumbs up on the video. One of our last before the international break, the winter break, of course. And yeah, comment along, it'd be fantastic. And if you can give us a subscription and enjoy the content along with us, that would be even better. So we'll kickstart with our featured four. We'll probably do two games and then maybe have a little break with the European draw, reflecting on that. And then we'll do our final two. And of course, Hero of the Week and predictions. So our fourth game of the week is going to be the Friday night game, Mark, which is obviously a entertaining 2-2 draw between two teams now that are fairly locked in a mid-table perspective right now. But nevertheless, it was quite end-to-end. And I think the first 30 minutes or so, Werder really turned up and were quite impressive. Rafa Boré getting an early start with a really nice half-volleyed finish to give them that 1-0 lead. But Gladbach did grow into the game, you know, through the influences of Honorat, who played quite well, and Player was industrious as well. But it's that man, one of the hottest properties, certainly from a younger German point of view, Rocco Reitz getting his first of two goals, some really nicely taken goals as well, either side of the half, where Gladbach was starting to push on, but they'll be lamenting goalkeeper and probably defender error as well, which ended up allowing Dusk to swoop in and equalise, and it stayed that way in the end, Mark. But what did you make of this one? Just an entertaining clash between two teams that you know, are still trying to find their best way of being that consistent level. I think we probably both found that you know, Werder at their best and Gladbach at their best, both teams you'd think they'd be able to get the win. It's an obvious thing to say, but they're both still just finding their feet, it seems, this season.
Yeah, I think it was an entertaining game. It really was. I think I mentioned on the predictions that I expected this one to be entertaining, and it definitely didn't let down. I think Gladbach will probably be disappointed they didn't manage to win it, especially after going 2-1 ahead. And that second goal deserves credit as well. It was a fantastic team move, the second goal for Gladbach. I mean, the play from Luka Netz as well, who's a player that's really impressed me this season as well. Finally starting to get some more consistent game time, and I think he played well too. Going forward defensively, that's where Gladbach's problems lie, really. I mean, I don't like that back three in general. I know Peter's a big fan of him, but Scally has never really impressed me that much, in truth. And I thought some of his positioning was a little bit poor, especially on the second Werder goal. The other issue for Werder, Gladbach is probably the keeper. They need Omlin back as soon as possible because I just think Nicholas is... I mean, you've got to give him some respect. He's very young. He didn't expect to be starting games at this stage of his career for Gladbach. And I think he's been a bit out of his depth in the games that he's played. I think once they get Omlin back, we could see an improved defensive performance from Gladbach. But in general, they're a great team to watch, Gladbach, really. I love what they do through the midfield. You know, Wright, Honorat, Kone as well has been on a real good run of form too of late, a more consistent run of form. Yeah. I really enjoyed his performance. He was unlucky not to get a goal too. You know, Hack, it was great to see him getting a start too, and he played a role in that second goal as well. Obviously, the former FC Nuremberg man. I think that might be his first start for Gladbach as well in this game. Obviously, they have a few injuries. Kvanchara and Jordan are both out at the minute. Player, again, didn't have his most kind of clinical game, but he still played relatively well. He seems back to his best form, really, the Frenchman. Yeah, as for Werder, it's a kind of similar story, really. I mean, Dutch and Raphael Boré is a good front two as well. I like some of what they do through the midfield as well. Schmid, Bittencourt, Stage, Weiser seems back to his best form too, which is great to see.
Yeah.
But it's just that defence and keeper situation, actually. Cetera has yet to really impress me in net for them. You know, I don't think he was at fault for any of the goals tonight, but it's just the way he kind of commands that back three, really, you know, back three slash back five. Just doesn't really do that much for me. And I don't think it works, really. You've got Jung, who's more of a kind of defensive midfielder, playing in the back three at the minute. He's struggling for me as well. But I think all in all, it's really, I'm more positive about both of these two teams. I enjoy watching both of them play. I think both of them score goals. They entertain. You know, they also make a lot of bloopers at the back, which is also fun to watch sometimes. But I just hope that both teams can start winning more because I think at the end of the day, 4 wins out of 15 isn't great for Gladbach, really. Let's be honest. I think the performances have been better than the 4 wins suggest. They probably should have at least 2 or 3 more wins, including this one as well. But they've got to start winning because Gladbach is a big club in Germany, you know, one of the most successful in Germany throughout the history of the game in this country, and they've got to start winning games more often as well, because you know the fans will look at the league this year and they'll think we should be able to get top 7 for me, and I think unless they start winning more consistently they won't get that. But all in all, I'm quite positive for both of these two teams. I hope they can start becoming a bit more consistent in the second half of the season, but at the end of the day, German fans want to see entertainment, and both of these two fans are being entertained this season, definitely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Entertainment is on the cards. Werder were a great watch last season particularly, and they still remain to be the case. I'm guessing just very quickly, Mark, obviously looking at the table, yeah, Gladbach is in 11th place. Only 2 points ahead of Werder, but because of results at the weekend, Werder actually have dropped down to 14th. Which naturally, in the Bundesliga's perspective, is only 2 places above a relegation playoff spot. There's still 5 points separating them and Köln. I'm guessing your thoughts that they're not going to be dragged into relegation is more about those two. If they get consistent, they'll be pushing towards, yeah, 8th, 7th, 6th sort of positions.
Yeah, I don't see either of these teams being anywhere near. I think both of these two teams are more likely to go up than to go down in the second half of the season. I think Werder need to start improving their away form. This was a good result on the road. And Gladbach just need to start conceding less goals. If you look at the numbers, they've scored 30, which is a massive number of goals for a team that are in 11th place. They're averaging 2 goals a game and they're sitting in 11th, which is just, I'm pretty sure no other league in the world you'd be able to find a team that are averaging 2 goals a game or in the bottom half of the table. But at the same time, they conceded 33, which is just, it's not normal for a team like Gladbach, you know. And to be honest, the numbers are quite similar for Bremen as well. Like Bremen haven't scored quite as many or conceded quite as many, but it's only a few less on either side as well. So you can see where the problems lie for both teams. It's defensively. And I think once they start to tighten up, maybe another signing or so in the defensive positions. I also think when Omlin comes back for Gladbach too, that'll be a massive boost. Hopefully he'll be back in the new year. But I really see Gladbach. I still think they're European contenders yet this season. I think they're as good as the likes of Freiburg, Frankfurt this year. But they've just not quite managed to get the number of wins that the performances have deserved.
Yeah. Absolutely good stuff. So we'll move on to our third game of our featured four this week. And it's going to be the league leaders. The league leaders confirmed, guaranteed into the winter break. Leverkusen running out really impressive 3-0 winners on Sunday afternoon, where we got treated to three games back-to-back. It was very lovely to be able to just sit and absorb all of that. Yeah, Mark, I mean, this was a really impressive outing again from Leverkusen. We give them credit on most shows, but we have to be consistent praising people who deserve praise. And again, I think we saw the return to form. Not that he's been out of form, of Boniface. He had a really good game. Florian Wirtz is really just proving how an exceptional talent he is. Frimpong again. With another goal, you know, there were chances, you know, especially towards the end when Frankfurt were a little bit more out on their feet. I think, Hincapié, I think, hit the post. Mm. Obviously, Grimaldo had a free kick earlier on in the match, but their general play was just excellent. Like Palacios's bit of play, I think it was for the second goal, where he kind of does that interchange and then gets it away from his man in midfield. To then set up the shot from Boniface, which is then put in by Frimpong. And again, Boniface involved with the third goal. Great hold-up play. You know, too strong, too physical. Shakes off his man and plays in Wirtz, who just puts in a simply delightful and calm, precise, chipped finish and put, yeah, Frankfurt to bed. We'll come on to, well, we say what we want to say about about Leverkusen. But Frankfurt, Mark, obviously we were singing their praises only last week when they put Bayern to the sword and had an absolutely fantastic display. But aside from that, their form's actually pretty shocking. Where do we sit with Frankfurt right now? Like, aside from this Bayern performance, which, you know, form-wise did come out of nowhere, they're obviously trying to build something build something new under Top Moller. Got a bit fresher squad in place. So, yeah, there are going to be inconsistencies, but a bit of a concerning dip in form for them, I guess, coming into the winter break. And maybe they'll just be wanting to get through their next game and, reset and get back into the training pitch and get that form reset again.
Yeah, it is definitely a little bit concerning. I think, as you say, it's like 6 defeats in 7 now. And the only game that wasn't a defeat was that famous win over Bayern Munich, which was pretty crazy, really. They've had some pretty harrowing defeats as well in that time, obviously against Saarbrücken, against Aberdeen as well, on probably a freezing cold night in Scotland. Yeah, they have had some poor results in recent times. And in this case, they were just beaten by a better team, really. Like, Leverkusen were just too good for them. But I think, yeah, that midfield of Goetze and Larsson, it finally got found out, basically. You know, we mentioned that we were shocked at how well that midfield performed against Bayern last week. But away at the Bayer Arena, that is just not the place you want to go with that kind of brittle midfield, really. I think, you know, Xhaka and Palacios just completely killed them in this game. Basically, it was as simple as that. And, you know, probably, in my opinion, the best pivot in the league, Xhaka and Palacios, they were just superb in this game, really. I think for Frankfurt, I wouldn't read too much into this particular performance, but I think they play Gladbach on Wednesday, and they've got to find a win there ultimately, because, as you say, it's not been a good run. And if they lose that one, then all of a sudden there might be a few calls about, obviously, Todd Müller's future potentially, because he is a novice in the league. You know, I often call these quite early, because I think nowadays in football, I just think that managers just don't get the time, do they? I mean, we've already seen this season, you know, Svensson, have they really improved since the sacking? You know what I mean? Have even Union really improved that much under the sacking? Obviously, we'll talk about them a bit later. But I think, you know, we do see managers get fired very early nowadays, and he will be a bit worried because to an extent their season is kind of unraveling. And if they don't beat Gladbach at home on Wednesday, then they really will be in a lot of trouble, I would say. The team isn't that bad. I think obviously Shaqiri came back into the side as well. He came off the bench in this game. They need him back in there because I think he's missed the last seven games. And basically that's been the time when they've been on that awful run. He is their best player, the Tunisian midfielder. He's absolutely top draw. And I think once he gets back in the team in place of Gerd, so they'll get that balance in midfield again with Larsson and him. You know, I think there's a lot of quality in that side. I really like Buta and Tuta. I think both of them are good. Koch didn't have his best game in this match, but I just think he was, again, you're playing the best team in the league at the moment. You can't expect to get that much in this kind of game. But from their perspective, it was disappointing to be beaten so heavily. I think Trapp as well, two potential errors in there, especially the first one, the Boniface. Yeah, he's got to be saving that. You could say the second one, but that's probably been a little bit harsh when he couldn't hold the Boniface shot, which was tapped into the empty net by Frimpong. But yeah, I do think Frankfurt will be okay this season. I think they've got to target the Conference League. I think that's going to be a big chance for them to, first of all, win the trophy and also get back into Europe next season. And they've got to try and get, you know, 6th, 7th. That's going to be the goal for them this season. I think Champions League is completely out of the question. And to be honest, with the exodus that happened in the summer, so many key players leaving, I think, you know, 6th, 7th would be a good season for Frankfurt this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've already been active in the transfer market as well, as Balam's just picked up in the comments. Frankfurt signing, well, I'm not sure if it's confirmed on their side, but, you know, most sources say this deal is done in the shape of Donny van de Beek from Manchester United. So, you know, quite, well, an exciting prospect based on the talent that, you know, van de Beek clearly has and has had a really frustrating time at United. Not many players haven't had a frustrating time at Man United. But, yeah, I feel that's a really good move for him personally. I think that would be really good to see him playing football more regularly. But again, like for me, for van de Beek, is he going to a team that already have enough midfielders in that position? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he can obviously play more, further forward as well. So maybe in front of Skahiri or Larsson, or if you want to play Gertzer in there as well. But obviously he's not the most physical player either, so you would want to play in probably more advanced position. You've got Chaibi as well, so it'd be interesting to see how they utilise him in the second half of the season. So looking forward to that. Just picking up on a comment as well from Nicholas. Alex Grimaldo has to be one of the best transfers this summer. He has fantastic quality. Yeah, couldn't be more right there. Honestly, Nicholas, he's been a revelation. His quality from set pieces, in general play, just the technique that he has when he's finishing those chances or having those shots, it's just a joy to have him in the league and long may that continue. Under Leverkusen, Balam very much alluding to Xabi Alonso is cooking, as Mark would say. He's cooking and on full gas at the moment. Just quickly pick up a comment on from Gavin, one of our fantastic regulars as well. Hi both. BVB have been quite erratic recently, but they have a tasty home fixture against Lowly Mainz. Are there any Dortmund players that you think are in form looking for a differential? Mark, Dortmund players on form, quite a tricky one to pick out there. Obviously Julian Brand was one that me and Runa were looking at for the weekend. That's just gone. Did you pick out anyone before we move on in their 1-1 draw with Augsburg that you thought played okay? It's quite an end-to-end game for a 1-1. It did have quite a lot of chances.
I thought Marlon was good, but he's not really a differential because I think he's going to be in quite a lot of teams potentially. Maybe not a lot. Maybe Bino Gittens as well, because he seems to be a favourite of Terzic. I've not really been overly impressed with his performances, but at least if he starts, he's going to be cheap, I would imagine, because, you know, he wasn't expected to get much game time this season. And I think, he does get a lot of dribbles in, for me, his end product is lacking a little bit, and I still don't think he's quite good enough to be starting in this BVB team. I think Adeyemi will be injured, though, so it's pretty much guaranteed that he'll start. So I'd probably go for him. Although saying that, he's probably not going to start now, isn't he? But he'd be my pick if you want to go for a Dortmund player. But in truth, I would avoid Dortmund players. I think we all know that, obviously, BVB have bad memories from that fixture at home against Mainz. And yeah, they're just not playing very well at the moment in general. I just don't think they're playing that well. You know, they're missing a lot of chances. And, you know, 1-7 in the league is not very good at all for a team like Dortmund. And they have problems at the minute, really, at least in the league. Champions League is a different story altogether.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you can see that pressure being, well, on Terzic and the players. You can quite clearly see that they're like, well, you know, we were in a title race last season. In theory, we should have won it. Why are we now struggling to even crack into the top four? But yeah, at the moment, Gavin, that's as good as we've got. And yeah, thank you for your congratulations for to me and United for holding Liverpool to a fantastic and amazing 0-0 draw. I think we all need that 90 minutes back in our lives. I think that we are owed greatly for that. So yeah, we'll just pause briefly. Some great comments in there. Thank you very much to everyone that's joining us as well this evening. Just to reflect quickly on the European draws that have happened today. So I'll quickly just run them by you, Mark, and we'll just get your opinion on them and maybe just a quick prediction whether we see these teams going through. So Champions League-wise, RB Leipzig have drawn Real Madrid. Pretty tricky assessment ahead of them, unfortunately, Mar, but Leipzig have been good in Europe this season, but obviously that's what you get for not winning your group, and they're going to welcome Jude Bellingham and co to the Red Bull Arena. I mean, pretty hard one to say that Leipzig will get through this one.
Yeah, they picked out the hardest possible draw they could have had because Man City were in their group, so they couldn't have got City. And I would say Real, you know, I would say they were probably the hardest team they could have got. It is unfortunate, but I actually think that they match up quite well to Real because I think Real are a kind of, they're more of a counter-attacking side from what I've seen. I mean, I'm not an expert on them because, you know, I follow Bundesliga and then in second English football, but I think from what I've seen, they like to counter a lot more. So I think Leipzig are more of a possession team. Like the problem when they play City is that they just can't get any possession off them. So I think it's, in terms of, you know, tactics and matching, I think that they do have a chance of winning this. But obviously it's going to be hard because of the individual brilliance that Real have. That's the problem. Like Real have always been a team of individual brilliance. And now you see it, you know, it's still got Modric doing brilliant things. Bellingham has just been absolutely insane since he went there. Basically, he's become almost like a midfielder / striker, basically, over there. So yeah, it's insane what he's doing. It's going to be hard, but I don't think it's a complete dead rubber, really, for Leipzig. I think, obviously, the home leg will be at home, and I think that suits them in a funny way. I think if they can take any kind of win over there, obviously, away goals are no longer counting. So even if they can get a 2-1 or a 3-2, which I don't think is impossible, then who knows, you know. But obviously, Real, I would say it's probably a 70-30 chance for Real to get through, but I don't think it's a complete dead rubber. And I actually think Leipzig are having a good season as well, in truth. They've had a bit of stick recently, but they've still won 11 out of the 16 Bundesliga games. So I think people have been a little bit harsh on them. They got through the group comfortably. Okay, they were second, but they still won 4 out of 6 games. So, you know, I think they're settling in quite nicely. They've got until February, until that tie. So, you know, there's enough time to build something and try and get something out of that fixture.
Yeah, okay. So if we're pushing ourselves for an aggregate score, I'd say probably 5-3 Madrid. What about yourself?
Yeah, I go for a 2-1 Leipzig home win and then a 2-0 in Real. So I go 3-2 to Real.
Okay, 3-2 to Real. Okay, what do we think about Dortmund versus PSV? Interesting one. PSV obviously going very well at the moment in the Eredivisie. But obviously Dortmund's form has been greatly, reassuring in the Champions League. And they'll see that as a great opportunity. Obviously away leg first, get that one out of the way, maybe get a scratchy draw or something like that. And they can push using the atmosphere of the yellow wall and get themselves home. I see Dortmund being, despite their struggles in the Bundesliga, a favourite for this tie and see them going through overall. Maybe a 3-1 overall myself. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think PSV are a decent team, but I still think Dortmund, they seem to have a good system in Europe, and they've got a lot more experience at that kind of level than this PSV side. I actually think PSV have got they've won something like 16 out of 16 in the Netherlands, which is just
Yeah, they
ridiculous
are doing
numbers.
well.
And they got through a difficult group, really, as well, including Seville and I think a team from France and obviously Arsenal. But I still think BVB, they've had harder tasks this season. And I think, they'll probably feel as though PSV are weaker than all the sides they face in the group, potentially, with all due respect to PSV. So, yeah, I can actually see them winning home and away, to be honest. I just think obviously, might depend, but I would go for like a 2-1 win in Eindhoven and then a 3-1 at home or something. So I'd go for like a 5-2 win. I do quite strongly fancy Dortmund to get through in this tie.
Very good. And then Bayern drawing Lazio, obviously a very famous Italian club who are doing slightly worse, but they're not doing as well this season in Serie A, more mid-table, been scoring struggling to score as many goals. Obviously away leg first because Bayern won their group. So again, pretty hot favourites Bayern for this one. I think they'll not breeze it, but buying on firing on any kind of cylinder are gonna get through this one for me. Yeah, 4-0 for me overall. What about yourself, Mark?
Yeah, I'm on a similar line. I think I'll go for 4-1. I think a 2-1 win in Rome and then a comfortable 2-0 at home. Bayern are just they've had too much experience at this kind of level for novices like Lazio. With all due respect to them, it's a big club. But Bayern are just way too wily for teams like that. We've seen it time after time. I think realistically, only really City and Real can take Bayern in this Champions League. I really do believe that. I think they've got too much experience for a lot of these teams, and they'll win this very comfortably for me.
Yeah, great. And then we've got two, well, we've got three other representative teams still in the other two competitions. Leverkusen won't play yet because they won their group in the Europa League. So their draw will come after the next set of rounds. But Freiburg, who came second to West Ham in their group, been drawn away first to RC Lens, the French side, who again they're about, I think they're in fifth or sixth in the French league, Mark. So I think this will be a good tie, actually. I think both teams will run each other very close. And again, it'll just be a case of maybe Freiburg trying to use that home advantage in the second leg to push them all the way through. Naturally, for them, it's going to be maybe about being able to score enough goals because that's one thing they're seemingly struggling with a little bit. Obviously, they got past, Köln at the weekend. So are we saying that they might squeak through?
Yeah, this is a real fun tie. I like the look of this tie. It's two traditional clubs, and I think this is one that I'll definitely be looking to watch as well. Maybe even a watch along for one of the legs of that, because I think both teams have got amazing fans too. I think Lawns have actually got a real proper like fan culture over there. They get great crowds and like real good ultras and things. I hope I think it's literally a 50-50 dead heat tie, this one for me. I think,
Yeah.
but given Freiburg's recent form in Europe, which has been really, really good in the last two seasons, I think only Juventus, who are obviously European stalwarts, really, were able to end their run last year. Was it in the last eight? And I think I can see them just getting through due to a bit more experience and knockout football. So I think it'll be maybe even like 2-1 to Lens in France, and then maybe either 1-0 penalties or 2-0 to Freiburg in Germany. But I think they might just kind of creep through this one, either on penalties or by an odd goal, I think.
Yeah, grand. And then our other draw involving a German team is Frankfurt, who've been drawn to the Belgian side Union Saint-Gilloise, who are top at the moment, I believe, and doing a really good job. And they've thrown in some really historic and big European performances. Have Union. So I think Union played Union last season as well at one point, which is most pleasing on the eye. Again, we've just been talking about Frankfurt. The way that they're playing now is obviously not ideal, but they've got a bit of time, Mark, to get themselves sorted. And again, they are a good cup team. So do we think they can get themselves together and get through this one?
This is a hard tie. I think it's one of the harder ones they could have got, actually, because Union Saint-Gilloise, despite not really being the most famous team in Europe, I always call them the Union Berlin of Belgium. basically, because their rise has been similar. They got promoted after like years outside the top flight. Then they got in the Conference League, then the Europa League, and they'll be looking to get in the Champions League potentially next season, which is very possible. I hope Frankfurt can improve by then, but on current form, I would actually go for Saint-Gilloise, unfortunately. Yeah. But I'm going to be optimistic, and I do believe Frankfurt play better in Europe generally. They just seem really, and the home support will be massive for that second leg as well. So I'm going to go for them to get through, but they need to improve the form.
Yeah, they need to indeed. We look forward to all those ties, and you know, good luck to all the Bundesliga sides representing. Of course, they'll be wanting, all Bundesliga fans will presumably be wanting strong performances to help with the coefficient rankings, so that hopefully our Bundesliga boys get that fifth Champions League spot for next season. It might really open things up. I think the Premier League are now really close. I think it's Serie A who are now slightly further above in first place, if I remember rightly. So it's going to be really interesting as the tournaments go on to see who goes up and down in that respect. We'll finish our top four, featured four games, and we'll now reflect on the Sunday evening big encounter, the Sud Derby, the Derby of the South. As Bayern took on Stuttgart and most clinically and impressively put the away side to bed. Nicholas, we'll come to your question actually about Pavlovic, because I want to talk about him a little bit as well. But Mark, I think quite a lot of, from watching it and then reading about the game subsequently, quite a lot of people were impressed by this Bayern performance. Were you as impressed as well?
Extremely. I thought it was their best performance of the season, actually. Yeah, against the quality of opposition. To be honest, when I first saw the team lineups, I was actually worried for Bayern, because no Kimmich, no Goretzka. Like, that was insane. That was a shock that nobody expected. And obviously, this young man, Pavlovic, coming into that midfield. And I was thinking, why isn't Lima in the midfield? Are they going crazy or something? But obviously, Thomas Tuchel really likes him at fullback. He adds a little bit more defensive solidity to that the team. I would still prefer him in midfield, personally, but it just seemed bizarre in some ways.
He did a good job against Furyk, though, to be fair.
He did. He really did. He is a good right-back, but, yeah, it's just, I just really like Lima. I think as people have watched the show for a long time, they know that I'm a very big fan of Lima. Like, I just think he's a great player, really, and probably underrated, too, in many ways. He's been a great signing for Bayern this season, wherever he's played. But yeah, I mean, Pavlovic definitely deserves credit. Like, that, the way he swings in the crosses and his overall performance was just superb, really. And he could be the latest of a long line of, you know, Bayern Munich legends that have been, you know, come through that system. As we see, obviously, Thomas Müller getting older now. It's probably going to be his last or second to last season, I would imagine, this. And obviously, yeah, the performance for Bayern was superb, though, really. It really was. And they just... It looked like men against boys, which is always a fear that could happen when Bayern Munich play. But I think they might have been buoyed on by the fact that Leverkusen obviously went into the game with a 7-point advantage, even though they had two games in hand. 7 points is starting to get a little bit, you know, scary. And they realised they needed a performance here because, you know, Stuttgart are a good team, even though they didn't really look it in this particular game, just because they were out-tacticked and outclassed by the masters, really. Do you know what I mean? Your team, Rory, you got done by Bayern on Tuesday and then done again on Sunday by... What, one thing I've got to say about Bayern as well, I've been very impressed with the Kim-Upamecano partnership the last two games as well. I was actually starting to doubt Kim a little bit after the game against Frankfurt, but for me, these have been his best two performances. I watched the game on Tuesday night and I thought he was superb against United, as was Upamecano, and they backed onto that form as well in this game. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get that consistency. I think they do look better with Lima in the team, whether he's at fullback or in midfield. Lima needs to be on that pitch every game, basically, for me. There's no question about that. Yeah, Musiala was back in form. Kane, I actually thought it wasn't his best performance in a weird way. His goals were quite easy, really. His goals were easy. But it's still a double, and that's why he's, you know, such a great player, because you can get two goals even when he doesn't play at his best. But yeah, things look good. And Davis too, of course, I've got to mention him. This was his best performance of the season by a long way too. I felt he was very good after he's not had his best season. I just feel as though Bayern, despite the result last weekend, that was a blip. I think I said it at the time, and I maintain that it was a blip. They've been very good this week in the two performances, especially defensively, which is a big improvement for Bayern because, you know, that defence has been questioned a bit this season. But things are looking good for them again. Obviously, they go to Wolfsburg on Wednesday night. If they win that, then I'd say it's been a good half season for them, really, despite not being top of the league and being out of the cup, obviously. Rory, did you agree? Do you think they were that good? Or do you think it was just a case of your boy Stuttgart finally putting in a poor performance for the first time this season?
I don't think Stuttgart were poor, to be honest. I just think that, like you say, Bayern were excellent. Obviously, the Nubel, mistake or decision that he makes early on in the game puts you on the back foot in the Allianz Arena early doors if you 1-0 down. That's regrettable. I think that there might have just been a few nerves, to be honest, because obviously they've played so many big games recently, you know, beating Dortmund, drawing with Leverkusen, and Dortmund again in the Pokal. And they've obviously had to have those levels so incredibly high against great teams. So I just think, you can't make those mistakes against Bayern. And from that levels point of view, you've got to be at the top of your game. Unfortunately, not everyone was, and Bayern just did a number. Gyarassi couldn't really get in the game as much. Mm-hmm. I think Fürich and Mittelstädt did okay. They've got a really good relationship together. I think Mittelstädt has really improved as a player, slotted into left back so well since Ito got injured. I think he still played okay, but we just looked a little bit ragged. The odd mistake, but we had so much possession as well. But I think Bayern were quite happy with that as well. So it was a bit maybe more of a choice by Tuchel to allow us to have that sort of possession. But either way around, we still played some good stuff. But Bayern definitely the better on the day. To Nicholas's point, Mark, really interesting one. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, Pavlovic moved the ball really well. His set pieces were exceptional. We looked quite vulnerable from that point of view. And in there with Guerrero as well, you kind of were thinking at the start of the game, okay, we could be onto something here. But they both played really well. But Pavlovic, I thought, neaten things up and was, progressing the ball really well. You agree and share the same thoughts as Nicholas?
Yeah, I really do. But whether it'll happen, I don't know. Because I think like Kimmich is almost like a kind of royalty at Bayern Munich. You know what I mean? Whenever he's fit and ready, he plays. But I totally 100% agree, Nicholas. I don't know if you've watched the episodes before, but I've been quite critical about Kimmich this season, which is not really been going about like the social media and stuff very much. But when I watched him, I've been underwhelmed by him. And I agree that his build-up has been slow. And he seems to be doing a lot of rash stuff this season as well. Like that red card he got against Darmstadt. He looks frustrated to me. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk that he wants to play further forward as more of an attacking midfielder in the kind of Musiala role maybe. But, it's not really his position in truth. And he's better just, getting his rolling his sleeves up and just saying, look, I'm more of a, all-round midfielder and that's my position. And I don't think he's had a good season at all, Kimmich. I really don't. But not many people are talking about that. But I think you saw the fact that that was probably their best performance of the season without Kimmich in the team. And that's quite telling for me. I would also say actually the two best performances of the season, obviously, if you include the Dortmund away game, which was probably on par with his performance or even a little bit better, maybe. He also didn't play that game too. So, these are telltale signs. And I don't think it should be a case that Kimmich is royalty at that club and that he's guaranteed a start no matter what. I think Tuchel has got to show some bottle now and say, look, Pavlovic was better than what you've been recently and he gets a start on Wednesday for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just on Gavin's question, which Bayern defender impressed you most? Well, they all played pretty well, to be fair, didn't they? I mean, you can never guarantee that Lime is going to start right back all the time, but he probably had the moments of showing the way that he's playing. But from a points perspective, it's hard to really say. Kim looks so dangerous from set pieces now. His physicality's picked up. I'd probably say Kim was the most impressive, certainly in that particular game. Mark, would you agree?
Yeah, Kim, as I say, the last two games has been ridiculous, really. I don't know if you guys watched the game against United, but wow. Also, Upamecano in that game was an absolute beast. Some of the tackles he was putting in. But I would agree, Kim was what I'm really starting to. These two performances have changed my mind on him a little bit. I never thought he was a poor player, but he always seemed to have like a mistake in him, or he wasn't strong enough in some cases. But the last two games, in big games too, he's been superb. 10 out of 10 for me from him over the last two games.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And so our first game from Featured Four this weekend, we're giving our due credit to VfL Bochum, who ran out 3-0 winners against Union Berlin. You know, this was a really important game for both teams, Mark. But, you know, from the first whistle, I thought Bochum were excellent all round the park. They had, you know, the better of the first half, and they got that, you know, really important goal. I think, you know, getting that goal gave them a real confidence boost and maybe took the wind out of Union's sails a little bit, because they probably thought that they had got into half-time 0-0 and then would maybe be able to react a little bit better in the second half. But that Asano goal from a corner, good in-swinging corner. I forget the player who went up for the header originally, but it kind of gets half-blocked and loops up in the air. And yeah, Asano, who's been a player that, you know, myself and Mark have not been so happy with so far this season in terms of performances, lashed it in on the volley. Really good finish to put his side 1-0 up. And then the key second goal was Paciencia's goal. So 2-2 for him. And this was a really good team goal, Mark. I mean, straight from Manuel Reimann, the goal kick, the low trajectory, fires it in to Asano, who turns really well into space and then releases Antwiatchi, who then cuts it back for Paciencia. Not the most cleanest of finishes, I think you'll ever see. Not entirely sure he meant to do it, how he did. He kind of kicks the ball into the ground, loops up, and it still goes in into the left-hand corner of the goal. There was obviously a penalty that originally wasn't given in, you know, in normal time, but after a VAR overturned by the referee, it allowed Stoiger to do what he does best from the penalty spot. But for me, Antti, you know, again, it's a bit of a switch around, because I don't think we've thought that Bochum have been great so far this season. But again, when you look at the form of Bochum, they've actually, you know, they've been really hard to beat, and they haven't lost many games. They've been on a good run and been gathering points, accumulating really well. And this may be just highlighting that they are on something good, and they're showing that that quality going forwards. You know, and it's obviously against the Union team, albeit that really struggling still on confidence and quality. Were you impressed by Bochum in this game particularly?
Yeah, very much so. I thought they were brilliant actually in this game. Yeah, there were a lot of really good performances this season from individual teams. You know, we've already talked about Leverkusen and Bayern, but this was just as good, if not better, really, considering, you know, it was a big game at the bottom of the league as well, this. And as you say, Bochum, I think one of the big things for them in recent weeks, they finally started to get a more stable starting 11 too. I think, obviously, Paciencia, is, for me, he's come across now as their proper number nine. I think, obviously, he wanted to give Hoffman chances, but he just wasn't good enough this season. You know, he just wasn't doing it. And I think he's finally kind of lost faith in him. And now he's gone for Paciencia, and obviously got a great goal last week and a good performance last week too. And then he built on that this week. It wasn't just the goal, but it was the overall presence as a number nine as well. I just thought he was really, really good. And they might finally have stumbled across the new number nine for this season. Obviously, 15 games too late, but it's finally come now. And I think you can see the team isn't bad at all from Bochum, by the way. It's a very solid team. They've got a lot of... Stöger is a great player as well. I really like him. I think he's one of the most underrated players in, you know, the bottom reaches of the Bundesliga. He could probably play for a higher team, to be honest, in truth. He's got a lot of technical skill. I also like Osterhager and Lossier as well. It's a good midfield. That midfield is nowhere near bottom three standard, put it that way, for me. Like, I would say half of the league has weaker midfields than that. Probably their problem has been not enough goals at times, but they came, obviously, today and in the last game, the last home game, they've started scoring again and creating chances, which is great. Another player that stood out for me was Bernardo as well. He's been a player that's really been getting better and better as the season's gone on. And he's got really good stats as well for duels won and stuff like that and pace. So he's a player that's really starting to come good. I think he actually got a goal against Wolfsburg, didn't he, in the last home game? But he was really good again in this match. And he's looking good. Schlotterbeck has got the form back from that loan spell last season. He was solid. And it was a great team performance. And to be honest, now the kind of the goals are coming back at home, I'm pretty confident they'll stay up. Really now, I think the problem was just the lack of goals in the early part of the season, Rory, and they just weren't scoring, were they? As I mentioned, like Hoffman just wasn't getting the goals, and Antwi Ajayi, he's not really scored many this season, but his performances are improving now as well, and obviously Asano hopefully can become a little bit more prolific as well, like he has been the last two seasons, but all's looking fine at Bochum really now, even the table. They're like 6 points clear of the bottom three now, which is very, very good.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've just got to keep that home form and they'll finish probably 12th, 13th, I would say, maybe even 11th if they get a... So that's a perfectly fine season. We all know that Bolcom's only real goal and is just to stay up, unless they get some more significant investment to like pad out the squad. But it's a great club, is Bolcom. You know, they always have a great home atmosphere at the Ruhrstadion. I always enjoy watching them play, especially at home. And, you know, they're a great addition to the Bundesliga, in my opinion. They still remain the only team that I've actually seen Nuremberg beat as well, incredibly, which is just ridiculous considering the number of games I've been to of Nuremberg. But, yeah, basically they're the only team I've ever seen Nuremberg beat. So I always have a soft spot for them because of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, like you say, from the table perspective, Bolton now looking a lot prettier, 6 points clear of that relegation playoff spot, and crazily only 3 points behind Wolfsburg in ninth place. So that just goes to show how tight it is, particularly in the middle. There's a little bit more now of a gap developing, Mark, between that 14th and 15th spot, which has been held by Union Berlin. Obviously, they got that really important win last week, but back to unfortunate, loss and quite outplayed in this sense. And so they're, you know, we're starting to see now more of a bottom four than that kind of bottom six or seven that we had with Heidenheim and Bochum starting to get those points again. Are we saying that, you know, these four are going to be the teams that are cut adrift a little bit more, but, you know, we're seeing improvements from Mainz as well. So it'd be really interesting. And Union is still, well, everyone knows that they have a lot of work to do, and that win wouldn't have, you know, kind of papered over cracks, because I don't think people would have believed it that all of a sudden they're back and they're going to climb the league straight away. But I guess they would have been disappointed just not to have taken any momentum from that match.
Yeah, they weren't very good, in truth. I think that game kind of it made us realise that it's not going to be a quick fix for Union. They probably are going to be in a dogfight for the whole season, in truth, which is sad in many ways. But, yeah, I think that is the reality. You know, as you say, from the best performance to one of the worst in the space of a week, you know, it's not great, really. And so many of those top performers from last season have just lost the form, like... I mean, Diogo Leite is having a bit of a nightmare of a season, as is Robin Knocker. Two of the players who, for me, were key absolute rocks. Like, they weren't far off people's team of the season last year, them to put it. But this season, they've been on duds of the season, basically, for me, because neither of them have been good, giving away penalties all the time and just mistakes at the back. And it's just not been very good from them. Again, they're a team that have just got to hope to win the home games this season. They've got to turn the Forsterei into a kind of fortress again, and they've got to start winning at home. If they can do that, they will stay up. They're the more likely one to stay up out of those four for me, simply because they've got the best squad out of the four as well. And obviously it is Union, and Magic's never far away from that club, let's be honest. So, and I think Mainz are just the mystery of the year. Like, they just cannot score. They're like, Mainz every game is like me when I watch Nuremberg at home. They just cannot score to save their lives, basically. Like, every game they create like between two and three XG, and they never score, basically. It's just absolutely bizarre. And until they start scoring, they will go down. But performance-wise, they're definitely a lot better than Darmstadt and Köln, put it that way. But they just can't score. So if that continues, they are going to go down. And as you say, a gap is starting to form now. And, you know, realistically, they might have to accept the playoff this year, I think, Mainz, which is not ideal for a team that have been mid-table the last two, three seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. So, yeah, we'll just finish off with a few of our little extras that we've, well, reintroduced recently. So we're doing our Hero of the Week, our Bundesliga Boxers Hero of the Week again. So we put it to a vote on X or on Twitter. So I'll just pop, run through who the candidates were first and foremost. So we had Rocco Wright for his excellent brace and in continued improvement and rise to fame. We put Bolcom down as an option as a team effort for obviously just what we've been talking about. We put Emil Forsberg, his farewell goal and, you know, performance for Leipzig before he goes into pastures new in America. And finally, we put the fans, of course, who were protesting in most of the Bundesliga and Zweite Bundesliga matches around the DFB's decision or the vote to obviously allow new investment into the TV rights and beyond. So I can announce and say that the winner of the poll on Twitter was Emil Forsberg. So obviously everyone feeling a little bit sentimental this weekend, and maybe the vote was picked up by quite a lot of our RB Leipzig fans and followers. So well done to Emil Forsberg. He's obviously been a great servant for Leipzig, Mark, and well, it was perfectly timed because obviously he got his goal, and then I think only a few minutes later they announced his move to obviously the sister club, New York Red Bulls, very shortly afterwards. So yeah, it'd be a shame to see the Swede move on, but obviously Leipzig moving players on as well. So we wish Forsberg well in the future. So yeah, well done to him. We'll see who gets the next Bundesliga Boxes Hero of the Week for a final review show. So that's pretty much it, unless you want to run through the games we've got coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do it, because we've done every other round, so why not do it? Yeah. So yeah, go on, I'll start with it. Yeah, so go on, Tuesday's early kickoff is Werder Bremen versus RB Leipzig. Quite an interesting game. Go on, I'll put this one over to you, Rory. What are you fancying?
Yeah, Werder obviously better at home, been a tricky opponent to play against, but Leipzig, I think, will be using that momentum. They'll be buoyed by going into third place as well, so I can see that being a 3-1 away win.
Yeah, I think I'll go for a 1-0 Leipzig there. I've got a feeling it'll be a bit low scoring, that one. Then, yeah, Dortmund versus Mainz. So, yeah, this is an interesting one. I'll start with this one. I don't think this is a foregone conclusion. A lot of people think, oh, it's going to be a hammering. But obviously, one win in seven for Dortmund is not good at all. Mainz, as I mentioned, they get chances, but they're just not scoring, basically. But the performances have been better than what the results say. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Dortmund win, but I think, you know, it might be a late goal that carries them over the line, but I don't think it'll be easy at all. Rory?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 2-1, I think. Close run thing. Dortmund aren't scoring many goals. Mainz are struggling as well. So I think, yeah, it could be a low-scoring affair. 2-1.
Yeah. Then the last Tuesday game, Hoffenheim-Darmstadt. Rory, any thoughts?
Yeah, Darmstadt really struggling at the moment, aren't they? Home or away. Hoffenheim naturally aren't as good at home. Lost an entertaining 3-1. Match against Leipzig. I think, yeah, Hoffenheim too strong. I will say 3-0.
I'm going to go for a 5-0 there. I've got a feeling that Darmstadt will end the year on a battering. So, yeah, then Wednesday, massive game in the early kickoff. Union Berlin versus Cologne. Wow, this is huge. Maybe the game of the midweek, I think, yeah. So I would say, again, this is what I mentioned before, home form is key for Union, and Köln just don't score goals. It's as simple as that. And I'm going to go for a 1-0 home win. Rory?
Sorry, remind me who are at home?
Union, Köln.
Union are at home to Köln. Right. Doobie-doobie-doo. So I'm going to have to be a bit boring, sit on the fence. I think this one might be a turgid draw, I'd say. So I'm going to say a 1-1. Not great for either side, I guess.
Yeah, both sides need a win there for sure. Then Wednesday, we've got a lot of games starting at 8:30. Well, 8:30 German time. I guess it'll be 7:30 UK time. Leverkusen, Bochum. Rory, you can start on this one.
Yeah, obviously, we've just been lauding both teams, haven't we? So positive in that sense. But yeah, regardless, I think Leverkusen have got too much strength, too much going forward. Bochum will be very much tested. And yeah, I can see it being a 3-1 victory for Leverkusen on this occasion.
Yeah, well, I think we match in this one. Yeah, I'm going to give Bochum a goal just because they've been so good, especially in recent weeks. So yeah, 3-1 to the home side. Then Frankfurt Gladbach. This is the one I mentioned before, which is really big for Frankfurt and both teams. Really, I think this should be a good game. This, you know, two teams that entertain at the moment. And you know, I think Gladbach could be the more likely winners, but I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think there will be goals in this. Rory?
I'll say 3-2 Gladbach. I think it's so hard to predict what either side are going to do at the moment. And yeah, it will be exciting. Yeah, 3-2.
Yeah. Then a big game, Wolfsburg Bayern Munich. Wolfsburg, obviously, they did get a big win at Darmstadt. That was a really important 1-0 with 10 men to it. For me, it could be the game that is kind of like the first nail in the coffin for Darmstadt. I'm going to call that, to not be able to beat an off-form Wolfsburg team after playing with 10 men for, what was it, 65 minutes with 10 men?
That's a long time, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably kept Kovac in a job for the new year, put it that way. As for this game, I just don't see Wolfsburg really getting that near to Bayern in this game. I'm going to go for a 3-0 away win. What do you think?
4-0, yeah. They won't get close to them.
Yeah. And then interesting game, South German derby, another South German derby between Stuttgart and Augsburg. I think this is a big game for Stuttgart if they want to get Champions League, because obviously it's now 2 without a win against the best two teams in the league, which is understandable, but you can't be going 3-4 without a win if you want to get Champions League. So Augsburg have only lost 1-7, too. They've been very good, and I thought they were great as well against Dortmund, too. Both teams could have won that game, in truth. It was an entertaining draw. But I am still going to go for the home team to win. But I don't think it'll be as easy as what most of the games have been this season. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win. I think it might be a late Gourassi goal in this one. What do you think, Rory?
Yeah, this will be tricky. I think, Augsburg have been so impressive under Thorup since he's come in. But I think Stuttgart have reacted well to those little blips that we've seen, which has been important to keep them as high as they are. So, I hate predicting Stuttgart games. I'll agree with you. I'll say 2-1. I think it'll be close, though.
Then the last game, Baden-Württemberg derby, Heidenheim, Freiburg. Freiburg, their defence is just like gods at the moment, basically. They just don't concede goals. And Gregorovic is getting key goals as well. Things are looking good again in southwest Germany, that's for sure. And I actually see them getting another win here. Obviously, Heidenheim are now mid-table, really, with back-to-back wins. They're well clear at the bottom three, really. And they'll be happy with a point here, probably. But I think Freiburg will get another win here. I'm going to go for a 1-0 away win. Rory?
I'll disagree. I'll go for a draw then. I think, it could be like a 1-1 or a 2-2. Heidenheim been impressive. Again, they've picked up at a good time. Freiburg are also defending a lot better. But, 1-1, 2-2, something like that.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin, as well, for your nice comment as well. Merry Christmas to all of you guys, obviously, over in Mexico as well. Keep up with your support. There will still be another couple of shows before the end of the year as well. So, remember to join us for that. If you enjoyed what you saw tonight, then check out our Twitter feed as usual, over the bar at being over the bar extra. And also, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We're nearing our next 100 milestone as well, so keep up with that. Keep subscribing and, enjoy the last match day of the Bundesliga as well. And then, obviously, we'll be back for a review for that as well. So, see you then, guys. Bye-bye.